If you're here and you're listening to me, whether it's in person or online, and you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins because you have never confessed the name of Christ to other people, get up and get it done. I want to talk to you about baptism and why baptism. I have friends that are in different denominations. I have some that are in Christian churches. I have many that are in Baptist churches. And we get together and we rib each other because of the differences of our doctrine and things like that. And we give each other a hard time. But I always like to discuss baptism with them. Because when you take the scriptures and you discuss baptism, you just can't get around it. And I had a friend that was preaching in Romans, and I couldn't wait to hear his sermon on Romans 6, because it's just right there in his face. And you know what he did? He only preached on verse 1. Didn't go any further. And you know, when it comes to talking to people about baptisms, a lot of times it's very important to them who baptized them. I knew a lady in Jacksonville Beach, and she was baptized by Billy Graham. And I thought, man, that would be pretty cool to have Billy Graham being the person that you baptized you. And so later on, after she told me that, I picked up Billy Graham's book, Just As I Am. And if you ever get a chance to read it, it's a very long book, but it's very interesting to see how his life unfolds. But one of the things that I found out about him is his baptism. When he wanted to become a preacher, he was baptized into the Baptist church in order for him to be a pastor of the Baptist church. After he was baptized into the Baptist church and he began preaching, he began studying. And as he began studying, later on in life, he was baptized for the remission of sins, which is what we teach here today. Some people want to talk about where they were baptized. I got baptized in a lake, and after they got me out of the lake, they checked me for leeches. Some people have been baptized in a pool. My favorite story is this couple. I just started preaching, and this couple had been coming to church, and so Nancy and I had them over to our home, and we studied with them, and then we studied again with them, and on the third time, it was about midnight, we'd been studying with them, and I kept waiting for them to tell me they were ready to be baptized, and they kept waiting for me to say, "Are you ready to be baptized?" So we're sitting in our home about midnight, and they're looking at me, and I'm looking at them, and finally she says, "Well, is there any reason why we can't be baptized?" And I'm like, "Phew, I've been waiting on this." And I got her there, and she didn't grow up in any church. She'd never seen anybody baptized before. And I told them, "You know, you're going to come down in here, and I'm going to baptize you." But I didn't tell her enough. And so back then, I was young, and I was strong, and I could baptize people backwards like this and then bring them back out of the water. Now I have to baptize them like this, and they have to get their own self out. But back then, I could do it that way. Well, she didn't know what was going on, and I hadn't really explained it to her. So when I said, "I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins," she started going forward. I started going backwards, and it was a wrestling match for about 2 seconds. And then I won. But when I won, I was not ready for her to relax totally. And I took her down into the water, and she hit the back of her head. Her eyes came open under the water. And I pulled her up, and I said, "You just paid for some sin right there." The next men's meeting we had on the agenda was headgear for the baptistry. That wasn't very funny, in my opinion. There's a lot of questions about baptism. You know, there's some churches that teach that you need to be baptized in order to join their church. I met a lady who was baptized, I think, about 4 times because she kept joining these different churches. And every time she joined, she was baptized. And when she came here and I started talking to her about baptism, she says, "Oh, I've already done that 4 times, but I'll be glad to do it again if it'll make me a member here." And so we had to teach a little bit more about that. And so there's questions about baptism that people have. And those of you who are members of the Church of Christ, if you're like me, you grew up in the church, you know what? You need to be ready to answer those questions. You see, one of the people that I was talking to, he says to me, "Neil, how in the world can you be a first century church in the 21st century?" And I said, "It's real easy. All we do is we take the scriptures and we follow the scriptures and we try to do things in Bible ways." And that's all we're going to talk about today, is what does the Bible say about baptism? We're going to take Neil out of the equation. We're going to put God in the equation and put God's word in the equation. I'll never forget, a lady came into the church some time ago. She'd been talking with one of the denominations, and she realized that what they were teaching was not right. And she wanted to know about baptism. She came into my office. Her daughter's here now, so her daughter can probably verify this with you if you want. But she came in my office, and she pointed her finger at me, and she says, "I want to know about baptism, and you better not lie to me." Like, oh, this is a great way to start a Bible study. And so I set her down and I went through the scriptures. And by the time I got through the scriptures and showed her just what the Bible says, she was ready to make that decision. If you're here today or you're watching online and you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, you may have been sprinkled as a baby. You may have been had water poured over you as an adult or as a child. But if you've never been immersed, today is the day that you need to listen carefully. And if you have been immersed and you have been buried with Christ in baptism, you really need to understand what I am saying today so that you can share it with others. You need to be able to defend why you did what you did as well as share what you did. The scripture that was read to you for a few moments ago is one of the best examples of the need for baptism. But I want to give you 3 points today about baptism. Number one, there is a mandate. There is a mandate. And when it comes to the word mandate, you may not understand what mandate means, but mandate is an order or a command. So whenever the scriptures say, "This is a command. This is what we need to do," we need to make sure our ears perk up and that we're wide-eyed about what God is saying. And here's where I can tell you that for sure that this is a mandate, because when Jesus was with his apostles and he was giving them their walking orders, he was getting ready to go back to heaven to be with God, to sit at his right hand. When all of that was happening, he has this one last time with them. And this is what he says to them. Jesus came to them and said, and I want you to underline these words, "all authority." All authority. Not some authority, not just authority here and now, but he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then he says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit." I want you to underline that, because that is so significant to what we do here when we baptize someone. We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And why do we do that? Because that's what God's command for us is. And when he said he had all authority and he was giving his disciples the marching orders, he was giving us the same marching orders. Because look at what it says after that. "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So everything that the apostles were taught to do, we're taught to do. And it keeps going passed down from generation to generation. It says, "And surely I am with you always, until the end of the age." So I want you to see something here. A mandate is something that has to be obeyed. You cannot get around the Word of God. Now, you can get around Neil's opinion. You can get around Neil's funny stories. You can get around Neil's example. But when you look at the Word of God, it has to be obeyed. Now, I want you to see here in Acts chapter 22, verses 14 through 16. This is Paul, and he's talking about his conversion, where Ananias came to him and was talking to him. Because this is what I want you to see about the importance of baptism. Because one of the things that I see happening more and more with people is that they learn the truth. They realize that Jesus is the Son of God, and they want to be baptized, but they want to do it whenever they get around to it. As a matter of fact, some of the churches today that I'm familiar with their teaching, they have a baptism Sunday once a year, some cases twice a year. And anybody wants to get baptized, they get baptized when they have these services. They just have to wait. And if you miss that Sunday, you have to do it another time later on in the year. But look at what he says. Ananias talking to Paul. He says, "You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name." If you're here and you're listening to me, whether it's in person or online, and you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins because you have never confessed the name of Christ to other people, get up and get it done. That's all there is to it. It's not about waiting until you're perfect. It's not about waiting until the time is right. The reason why that young lady hit her head on the back of this, because it was 1 o'clock in the morning by the time we got ready to baptize her. We didn't wait until the next morning. When she was ready and her husband was ready, we baptized them. And that's what I'm calling you to do as well. I want you to look at this particular verse, because this really has a lot to do with what we're talking about from the scripture that was read to you just a few moments ago. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Now, Paul's writing here, and when he says, "I've been crucified with Christ," that's a little kind of a difficult thing to understand, isn't it? Because Paul's writing, and if he was crucified with Christ, wouldn't he be dead now? No, because he was crucified with Christ through his baptism. You see, when you go up here, let's just say you're going to stand on this side, could stand over there, and you decide you're going to go in the water and you be baptized, you are basically saying before you go in the water, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died to save me from my sins." And in doing so, you're saying, "I am going to kill myself. But I'm not going to kill myself literally. I'm going to let Christ live in me. And that's how I'm going to share in his resurrection." Look at what it says. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." That's how Paul could say, "I'm crucified with Christ," and that he still lives because Christ lives in him. "And the life I live in my body," or in the body, "I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, baptism is a reenactment of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And when we're raised up, it is a new life that we're living. So we know there's a mandate that we've got to do it. Paul tells about when he was told to do it, how he did it. And so if there is a mandate, there must be a method. Amen? And there is a method. And that method requires water. It requires water. In John chapter 3, verse 23, John's baptizing people, and here's what he says. "Now John also was baptizing near Salem, because there was," and underline these words, "plenty of water. And people were constantly coming to be baptized." Now, baptism is a word that was introduced by Christendom. It was not a word initially. But when they were translating the King James Bible, they didn't want to say, because the word baptism actually means just to immerse. And so they didn't want to do that. So what they did is they came up with this word baptized. And it's become a word that we've heard over and over. As a matter of fact, people who don't even believe in baptism use the word to describe things like, I was baptized into fire when I started my job. And the whole idea is that you are overwhelmed or that you are immersed. And you look at your notes, it says it means to immerse, and it comes from the root word, which means to overwhelm. Now, the next verse in your sermon notes, I messed up and I repeated verse 36 twice, so you're just going to have to cross out one of those verses there. But go down to verse 36, and it says, they traveled along the road, and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, underline these words, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Now, there's a reason why he said, look, there is water, because it was understood by the eunuch when he was talking about baptism, Philip was talking to him about baptism, is that he had to be immersed. Now, there is a video series which follows the NIV version of the Bible word for word, and there's pictures and things that go along with it. It's called the Visual Bible. If you ever get a chance to watch it, it's very interesting. But when it comes to this, they have a picture of the eunuch and Philip in the chariot, and the eunuch says, look, here's water, what keeps me from being baptized? And they show Philip and the eunuch going down in the water, and Philip takes some water and just dumps it on his head. And my thinking is how can you get that out of this verse? Because look at what it says. He says, look, there's water. Here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip, look at that, both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. It's not a pouring of the water. If it was pouring of the water, Philip would not have had to get in the water with him. He could have taken a jug and he could have just lifted it and poured it over him. He did not have to do that. What he's saying is here is Philip went down in the water and the eunuch was totally immersed. And he says, then both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and Philip baptized him or immersed him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But underline these words because this is so significant. But went on his way rejoicing. So, we know there's a mandate, and we know there's a method. The third thing I want you to know is there's meaning behind what you do. When you're baptized, there's significant meaning behind what you do. I'm going to be doing a Bible study with a young lady. I think she's 9, maybe 10 years old, and she's wanting to talk to me about baptism. She, at 9 or 10 years of age, she recognized there is a need for baptism. And one of the things when I study with her that I want her to understand is I want her to understand the meaning behind her baptism. Because for a lot of us, we knew we needed to be baptized. For a lot of us, we knew that baptism was a part of our walk with God and that we needed to be saved. But I want you to understand, and I want her to understand the meaning behind what we do. Because a lot of times when you just think about being baptized, and I've talked to people who have no concept of the church, no concept of the Bible, and they'll ask me about why do you get baptized? That just seems so weird. And when you think about it, if you're not a part of the church and you think like you're not a part of the church, being baptized is kind of weird, isn't it? You get in front of some people, they put you in the water, and you come up, your hair's wet, all your clothes are wet. You look like a drowned rat. Well, for those of us who understand baptism, we know there's significant meaning behind us getting baptized and why we get baptized. First of all, it symbolizes the death of Jesus and the death of ourself. It symbolizes the death of Jesus and the death of ourselves. Now, see, this is so important to Christendom today, and we don't realize it. You know, everything we do is about the death and the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross so that we may have salvation. And a lot of times we get sidetracked by other things going on. We get sidetracked by social injustice. We get sidetracked by the needs of others. We get sidetracked about what's going on in politics. But the church should always be about the death of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. Amen? I thought I was going to have the opportunity to talk to a Muslim man this week, but unfortunately he called somebody else because I didn't get to him in time. But when I called him and was going to talk to him, because he was doing an assignment and he was wanting to know what the basics of Christianity were all about as compared to the Muslim religion, that was the message that I got. And I was just so looking forward to telling him about Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for us through His death on the cross to offer us the forgiveness of sins. Because without that death, without that resurrection, there is no hope for any of us. No matter how hard we try to be good people, no matter how many good deeds we do, no matter what kind of life we live, without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no hope. So when we are baptized, we are symbolizing Jesus' death and the death of ourselves. Now, for those of you who are Bible students, you know that Jesus was buried and he raised from the dead on the third day. Now, thankfully, when it comes to baptism, we don't leave you in for 3 days. Although I've had a few people I'd like to have left them in for 3 days. But we don't even leave you in for 3 minutes. Because it's symbolizing what's going on there. It's a meaning behind it all. Look at what it says in verse 3. All of us, he's talking to a Christian audience here. He says, all of us, because a lot of times people say, well, you don't have to be baptized in order to be a Christian. All of us, he's talking to a Christian audience, who were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death. And then he goes on to say in verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with. You remember that verse I was telling you about just a few moments ago? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. The reason why he crucified himself is because he was doing away with the old body of sin that he had. The second thing I want you to notice is it symbolizes being buried so that we can partake in His righteousness. It symbolizes being buried with Christ so that we can partake in His righteousness. You see, when I'm baptized, I take on Christ's righteousness because the symbolizing of me dying to myself in order that Christ might live in me is my way of taking on righteousness. It's not a righteousness of my own, which I could never achieve. What it is the righteousness of Christ that I get by being buried with Him. Look at what verse 4 says. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death. That's the meaning behind this baptism. And number 3, it symbolizes a new life. It symbolizes a new life. When you come up out of that water, and I got to tell you, I look so forward to baptizing people because there's a different reaction with each person that you baptize. Nancy has been going through pictures at our house. Anybody else in here got box after box after box of pictures? We've got them at our house, and Nancy's been going through them. I don't know what prompted that, but every day she goes through them, and she brings me some pictures, and she shows them to me, and she says, do you know who these people are? And I'm like, I have no idea. And those are the ones we throw away, and if you're in those pictures, we're really sorry. But there's pictures of kids that we have forgotten because it's been so long, kids that came to our house, things like that. But one of the things that she showed me the other day was pictures of me baptizing people in Honduras. And I had forgotten all about all the people I had baptized in Honduras. I'm not one of those preachers that keeps count and records of everybody I baptized, because it's not me that's doing it. I learned a long time ago, when I baptize somebody, I have nothing to do with it. It's all God, and to Him be the glory. Amen. So I don't keep numbers, but there was pictures there, and there was about six people that I had baptized. But as we were looking through the pictures, I remember one guy in particular. He was a big guy. I didn't speak the language. They had an interpreter there for me. I'm baptizing these people and so forth, and as I'm baptizing them one after another, this one guy, I baptize him. He comes out of the water, and as he's coming out of the water, he punches into the air and screams, "Yee-haw!" I wish we had more yeehaws. Because when you put on Christ in baptism and you kill your old self, all the sin that is in your life is washed away. Not just the sin of yesterday or the sin of today, but the sin of tomorrow. And you are a new creature. And for some of us, being a new creature is a yeehaw moment. Amen. And that's what I want for you to remember today when you were baptized. If you've already been baptized, I want you to remember that yeehaw moment, because that's something to celebrate. Look at what it says. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Underline those words, we too may live a new life. Doesn't say we're going to live a new life, but we have an opportunity for a new life. Now, I want you to look at here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, because I want you to see something about this new birth. It says, "Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So that's what we've got there. We have a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or hide, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that has already been revealed in the last time. You see, people ask me, how do you get in heaven? Well, you have to start by knowing God's word. You have to hear the word. And once you hear the word, you have to believe the word. And after you believe the word, you hear the word, you have to confess that Christ is the Son of God. Then you have to turn to God as well. You have to repent from sin. And that repentance is not just repenting from sin, but it's also repenting and turning to God. And then you're buried with Christ in baptism after you confess Jesus' name. And then you walk that new life on your way to heaven. It's that simple. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. It's that simple. If you want to start your journey with Christ, it's that simple. Well, Neil, how much do I have to know? You have to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for your sins. You have to know that Jesus wants you to be with Him in heaven, and He died for you so that you could receive this salvation. That's all you have to know. You mean I don't have to memorize any verses? No, you don't have to. You just have to know that Jesus came to this earth, lived as a man, died on a cross so that you could receive the forgiveness of sins. That's all you really need to know. But from there, when you're living this new life, after you receive that salvation, the rest of your life should be about sanctification. I was baptized when I was 9 years old, and I've got to tell you that my 9-year-old person that was baptized is not the same person as my 63-year-old person. I don't see the world the same way. I don't pray the same way. I don't even read the scriptures the same way, because the process of sanctification is for the rest of your life. You don't get baptized and say, I'm done now. You get baptized, and then you live a life that Christ can live in you. And that's what you're looking for. Now, on the very last page of your notes, if you'll flip over, there's an announcement in there about the bridal shower. But above that, there's a scripture in there, because whenever I preach on baptism, someone says to me, Neil, if baptism's going to save us, isn't it a work? Don't we have to work for our salvation? And that's not a doctrine I teach. It's not a doctrine the Bible teaches. But I want you to see something here. Because in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, he's talking about Noah being saved on the ark. Now, did Noah have to build the ark? Yeah, but he had to believe that God's word, when he told him to build the ark, was for a reason. And it goes on to say here, and he says, and this water, talking about the same water in the ark that overwhelmed the earth, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Baptism's going to save you. But it is not, look at what it says, not the removing of the dirt from the body. When I was a kid, me and my brothers, we grew up in the church. We saw people get baptized. And as a kid, me and my brothers would go to the pool. We had a neighbor who had a pool down the road. And we would go to the pool and we would take turns baptizing each other, holding each other under till we were saved. And we'd come up out of the water and we'd feel clean. But that's not baptism. It was something kids did because we were reenacting what we saw adults do. But there's no removal of the dirt from the body that's going to save you. But here's what it is. It's a pledge of a good conscience towards God. It's basically saying, God, if this is what you want, this is what I'm going to do. And this is what you think needs to be done. I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm going to do it. It may mean that I mess up my hair and I have a bad hair day. It may mean that when I come up out of the water that my hair falls in front of my face and makes me look goofy. I'm going to do it, God, because you have said to do it. It's a good conscience toward God, but none of that saves me. What saves me is the fact that Jesus Christ has been resurrected from the dead. Look at what it says. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to get away from that idea. Because a lot of times when it comes to baptism, we focus on the baptism part of it. And that's a good thing to focus on. And sometimes we focus on the fact that some people need to be baptized. They haven't been baptized. And that's a good thing too. But I want you to focus mostly. The reason why we get baptized is because it saves us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not of anything that we have done, not of anything that the preacher has done, but because of what Christ has done for us. I'm working on a series of lessons that talk about our primal needs. And these needs are questions that we all have. Some we don't even know we have these questions, but these questions are things that we all have in our hearts that need to be answered. And the problem with us today in the world is we get so busy with things and entertainment and the things that are going on. And there's nothing wrong with all the things that are going on. But there comes a time in every person's life where they have to stop and they have to search their soul. And the only way these questions really can be answered is through a relationship with Jesus Christ.